Today we're talking radio-controlled drones with London-based artist Gonzalo Cardozo. Let's give him a call.
Hello?
Hello, Gonzalo Cardozo. I guess tell us first how you first got interested in radio controlled drones.
I've seen the artwork called Drone Survival Guide, done by a Dutch Amsterdam based artist called artist designer called Ruben Pater, and I thought the idea fascinating because it was basically a piece of art design where he lists pretty much all the drones, all the military and surveillance drones in existence as a silhouette, so people can recognize them if they happen to see them. And he released it as a guide for not only, you know, to be showed at in exhibitions, but also to be used in more of like a social activism. In fact, yet it translate, it's freely downloadable in all languages from the site, including, you know, special to the languages where those drones are deployed, like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Middle East. I thought it was a fascinating idea, and I wanted to take it to a more sound artistic approach. So I contacted him, and he was very much into the idea. And for about a year, we researched and developed how to approach a very sensitive subject from an artistic point of view, without being too subjective about it, because it's impossible almost to be totally neutral about drones and surveillance drones or military drones. So that's really how it started. There was a lot of thought went into making sure we're not offending people who live under the constant sounds of drones. So yes, I think that's, does that answer part of your question?
I guess so, yeah. I'm interested. You said you mentioned that you were sensitive and that end that about the reactions to people that are under the that hear the buzz of the drones daily. Why was that so important to you? Aren't those people just want attention brought to this issue, or?
Yes, I mean it's a terrifying idea. I mean, we didn't only want it to concentrate on military drones or surveillance drones. We also wanted to create this kind of metaphor to how our skies are changing. That, you know, how drones are becoming more and more a facet of our skies, and the record that we released, it's kind of like a play on those old bird watches records where you get you hear the sound of a particular bird and someone introducing it, and so people can spot them. So we're doing the same with drones, so you can listen to the records and hopefully you could recognize the sound of one of those drones in the sky. Now I hope most of the big ones we don't get to experience in the Western world, but by doing it in an artistic way, we hope we're not glamorizing. I mean, I suppose our main concern was glamorizing military warfare and giving a kind of voice to the people who have no choice, who usually live under those constant threat, which is the eternal buzz that can go on for 10 hours at any given time.
Are there becoming drone watchers like there are bird watcher groups?
I believe they are, because one of the biggest challenges we had was to find the actual drone sounds for each drone. I mean, drone bases are not open to the public, so it was very hard to find good quality recordings of military and surveillance drones.
There's not good surveillance of the surveillance drones.
Sorry?
There's not good surveillance right now of the surveillance drones.
Exactly. So there's no... it's very hard to find more information that it's already out there. So in terms of the sounds, for example, there's a lot of it on YouTube. So there is a community of people, either they're aficionados of you know, they like motorheads or you know, they love the it could be the acoustic, the motors, or they're just people who are interested in what they sound like. So we crowdsource a lot online. So yeah.
And what has been the reaction to your record? I guess one side is like the old Bird recording, Bird records, sort of field recordings of drones, and the other side is well, you should explain what the other side is like.
Well, the other side is more of a soundscape composition based around. I mean, I struggled with the idea for a while. I wanted to make something more musical than the first side. So I've decided to design a soundscape which traces like the conceptual life of a drone from its making to its deployment and eventual death, which is the loss of link, if eventually loses link with its operator. So I created what I would call a melancholic soundscape piece of music. It's melancholic because I kind of lament the use of technology. Always gets, you know, it's something that could be used for amazing developments to help people, could also be used for obstruction and invasion of privacy or death in that case. So it's a very melancholic piece that goes throughout, even with a song at the end, which comes from the Mali region, the Sahel, which is a region, it's very war-torn at the moment, and it's got drones flying over almost permanently.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Gonçalo Cardoso about his A Study into 21st Century Drone Acoustics record that's just out. I'm wondering what you learned that surprised you about drones.
A lot, actually, because the colleague I've done this with, Ruben Pater, knew a lot about it. He did a lot of research that we could integrate into the record. So the record is not just a record, it comes with a booklet that has information about drones, about where they're deployed, which country they're manufactured, if they can be militarized or weaponized or not. It shows, for instance, a map of military drone bases in Africa. So all of this information was the product of research by Ruben, which opened my eyes to a lot of this of this new phenomenon that's been going on for a while. We see it now and even more now with Hollywood releasing films about it. But it's always very secretive, and we never really know the full picture. So it did open my eyes to a lot of contradictive procedures that go into and even the morale, the moralistic views about it, you know, about someone going into a base thousands and thousands of kilometers away from where this drone is actually flying, which just creates this weird concept about life, you know, life and death and connection to what's going on.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. It seems like by doing a sound piece, you're sort of focusing on the point of view of the people under the drones. Did you listen to any of the, I guess on YouTube, there's also a community of interviews with ex-drone pilots and what their feelings about the matters are?
I operated the camera. So like the camera, zoom in, zoom out, make sure that everyone can see a good picture, make sure it's in focus, guide the laser, shoot the spot tracker.
How clear are the resolution? How clear are these images?
It's pretty clear, depending on like atmospherics and how what your elevation is at, it can be pretty clear. We're just sitting there, and we're like, okay, these guys are obviously bad guys, you know? The guy in the back hears the sonic boom when it reaches him, and he runs forward. We were actually told to get the two guys in front, worry about the guy in the back later, follow him to wherever he goes. Guy in the back runs forward between the two, and we strike all three of them. And the guy that was running forward, when the smoke clears, there's a crater there, he's missing his right leg, and I watch this guy bleed out. And it's clear enough that I watch him, he's grabbing his leg and he's rolling. Like, I can almost see the agony on this guy's face. And eventually, this guy becomes the same color as the ground that he bled upon. And
so he loses his heat. You watch him die.
Yeah. It was, you know how people say that drone strikes are like mortar attacks, artillery. Well, artillery doesn't see this. Artillery doesn't see the result of their actions. It's really more intimate for us because we see everything. We see the before action, or before action and then after. And so I watched this guy, I watched him bleed out. I watched the result of, I guess, collectively it was our action, but ultimately I'm the responsible one who guided the missile in.
Yes, it's recently, I think it's been recently that a few of them came out, right?
Yes.
So we didn't read about them. I mean, we might have knew of a few, but not while we're doing the record. What we read was a lot about the people who were living under the drones. So we even devised this installation at the moment, which the title for us is something that really, you know, showed what this could be, which is called "I'm Afraid of Blue Skies," which this little kid from Pakistan in the Waziristan region, I believe, said because when blue skies are, you can see the drones.
It was at a U.S. congressional hearing, I believe.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I no longer love blue skies. In fact, I now prefer gray skies. The drones do not fly when the skies are gray. And for a short period of time, the mental tension and fear eases.
Yeah, something that for us is beautiful, a beautiful blue sky. For a little kid, it's exactly the opposite.
I spent a year living with an American family and attended an American high school. That was one of the best years of my life. The friendships and values I experienced and described to the villagers helped them understand the America that I know and that I love. Now, however, when they think of America, they think of the terror they feel from the drones that hover over their heads, ready to fire missiles at any time. The drone strikes are the face of America to many Yemenis.
Have you started to hear other, or I've started to hear pop artists using drones as a metaphor more recently? Are you hearing more pop culture references to drones, and what do you think about that?
I think it will just get more and more. I mean, it's something that is part of our society at the moment, and it will just keep growing and growing. I believe in the Western world, we have more of the domestic, what we call domestic drones. No, the ones that, you know, or Amazon uses them to deliver orders. And but so your question is if I think it's a good thing or a bad thing.
I'm just your impressions of when you hear about radio controlled drones in pop culture. What are your feelings?
I mean, it all depends how it's approached. Like I was referring before to our work, we always been very careful to be respectful of the material and not glamorizing any, you know, because it could signify a different other thing. So if it's done in a respectful way, whatever it is, I don't have anything against it.
But I have to say, it's great. It looks like you're really enjoying your last year of the presidency. Saw you hanging out with NBA players like Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors. That was cool, yeah. You know, it kind of makes sense, too, because both of you like raining down bombs on people from long distances, right? That's true. What? Am I wrong? What?
And where are you located? You sort of implied that are not radio-controlled drones flying over your head.
Yeah, I'm in London. There have been, but not on a regular basis. I know during the Olympics here in 2012, the British government used radio-controlled drones to fly over the city.
So that hum of the overhead drone is not something that will just be heard in Pakistan and Yemen.
No. It will become more and more part of our perception of sounds in our society.
And how does this relate to other work and compositions that you've done?
It's probably the more serious one I've done, the more sober, can we say that? I mean, the least, the one what I would like people to just reflect by themselves and not be just present it as it is and have people taking their own conclusions. For the rest of my other work, I've got a few other monikers. Which one applied to a certain concept, but this is definitely the more serious and relevant to what's going on, I guess. I mean, we are invited to Cairo tomorrow, and as my piece, for instance, at the end, got a lot of North Africa references, I'm extremely curious to see how it will be received there.
Both, I guess, by the people and by the government, that because the
yes.
governments in North Africa are in tacit working with the United States often.
Absolutely, yes. So we'll see. I mean, I knew there was already some problems about printing the guide, the drone survival guide, because we had to specify it was an artwork. It was a piece of art and not an actual guide. Because of the security issues. So it will be interesting to...
So you're going to Cairo?
Yes, tomorrow actually, flying tomorrow.
Ah, and how is the... So is it being well received in the Middle East, your record?
I don't think it's got much, as a record, not much life in the Middle East, but what we did...
There aren't too many turntables in Syria?
Not enough. But we offered the entire A side, so which is the exhaustive list of the drones, is or the drone sounds is available for free to download. So we will by that we will get, you know, people who cannot afford the record or don't really care about a an art piece like the record could at least, you know, find some interest in what some research interest in what we were doing.
Although people in Yemen may not want to download the sounds they hear all the time anyway.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. There's that. And there's also the fact, and that goes back to my composition, where I was very wary of using actual drone sounds into music. Because I'm not sure, for instance, if people in Yemen would like to, you know, hear a sound of what they consider a sound of terror, made into a music composition. So
the composition, yes, almost sounds like the preparation of terror.
Yes, yes, I guess.
Was that how you intended it, or what was your intention?
No, I mean, I intended to be, from in a conceptual point of view, from the start, it's the construction of you know, so the hardware, machinery, it goes through digital programming, flyby. So I think there's a section where you just hear actual nature sounds that slowly get drowned by the sounds of like the predator, and then it eventually, after that, there's the loss of link. So which happens and might happen more and more in the future, where they lose the radio signal, it's lost, and the drones just fly aimlessly until they run out of juice. So that was my kind of, I didn't want to insert any war related sounds or any explosions or machine guns or anything like that.
There are no screams of victims.
Yes, I didn't want to do any. I think it will be too obvious, and I think I would like to, I wanted to keep it a more conceptual side. We discussed a lot about it, and we both agree we didn't want to include any actual sounds. I mean, I include sounds from some drones, but that's as far as we go in terms of becoming like a realistic. It's impossible. I cannot go to a factory and record sounds of the machines that are building the drones or the actual computers. So we imagine and try and make a more conceptual approach to it. We have a live show that we present, and in it we don't show any actual drones on the video footage. We showed imagery that kind of mimics what it, you know, facial recognitions, CCTV cameras, people walking around cities. We try to adapt whatever city we are and use the footage of that city, but not use actual drones footage or anything, you know, because we see it on the news all the time. It's become like this voyeuristic spectacle where we see this footage, you know, constantly on the news. So we wanted to have something a bit more abstract to it.
All right. Did we leave anything out? Did anything else you wanted to mention about the project?
No, I think that's, I think that's it. I mean, we're developing into an installation for museums around the world, which is the one I referred before, which is I'm Afraid of Blue Skies, which literally just shows a blue sky. And I created the soundscape for it, the sound that goes through several drone models mixed with, it's a more down-to-earth soundscape than the one on the record. It's more sounds of cities, of nondescript cities, where the sounds of drones come and go, as you know, integrated as seamlessly as a car or a motorcycle or anything like that. So yeah, that's what we're working on lately.
And are you doing any more appearances like Cairo or more shows?
Yes, we were in Germany yesterday, Cairo tomorrow, Amsterdam on the 7th of June, 8th of June, I believe, and in Sweden on the 28th of July, where we're presenting both the installation and the live act.
And people should go to droneacoustics.org for information about those shows and the record?
That's right, or discrepant.net, which is the label I run, which will have all the information about both too.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Gonzalo Cardoza.